Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. How to think like a CEO and act like a leader. Practical insights for performance and results by Michael F. Andrew. Chapter 23. Talent management is good business. Two non-mainstream but practical views. The excellent companies treat the rank and file as the root source of quality and productivity. Tom Peters, thought leader, author, former McKinsey director. It is not just about high potentials and a small pool of successors. Today, for the first time, CEOs are acknowledging the business significance of developing a solid cadre or bench of future leaders to help the company achieve and sustain its performance over the long run. This is no longer just an HR purview. It is a vital component of corporate strategy at the highest levels. McKinsey's War for Talent, published over a decade ago, is now a business reality. If the intangible asset of human capital is such a factor in determining corporate value, and if human capital is such a competitive advantage, then why just focus on the high potentials or those being viewed as successors to senior leadership? Don't get me wrong, planning for a strong bench of potential successors to the top leadership team is important and a key part of strategically managing talent. But identifying and developing high potentials and putting them on a fast track to senior leadership probably accounts for about 5% of the company. And of that 5%, some of them are so talented and rightfully ambitious they will be recruited elsewhere sooner. What about the other 95%? If you factor in low performers or disengaged employees, you probably arrive at about 75% of the workforce in your company. In this era of knowledge, and where many employees have finally tuned their know-how and know-who, you can't ignore this significant asset. It is this critical mass of loyal and solidly performing employees that affect execution. Developing future leaders goes beyond just a pool of successors for the most senior leadership roles. It goes to developing the critical mass of overall talent inside the company and to developing the organizational capabilities throughout the company necessary for the company to execute its strategies and accomplish its goals. In the June 2003 issue of Harvard Business Review, Dr. Thomas DeLong from the Harvard Business School and Vinita V. Jaya Raghavan, a consultant from the New York office of Katzenbach Partners, published an article entitled Let's Hear It for B Players. This article resonated with me and confirmed my notion of the solid citizens, i.e. the other 75%. In the article, DeLong and Vijaya Raghavan say, in our 20 years of consulting, research and teaching, we have found that companies' long-term performance, even survival, depends far more on the unsung commitment and contributions of their B players. These capable, steady performers are the best supporting actors of the business world. It is the B players that are necessary for execution. It is the B players that you want to retain to stay with the company. If they leave, what do they leave with? They leave with the know-how and the all-important know-who, customer relationships, and their network of getting things done. The B players may not be future vice presidents, but they are the foundation of the company's identity and continued success. These are the solid performers and solid citizens. They are arguably more loyal to the company. They are the ones you can rely on and depend on. They simply have other development needs than do the high potentials. When I was the head of the Leadership Institute at Rockwell Automation, I immediately recognized the need for the solid and loyal citizens in the company. We identified a different development strategy than those viewed as high potentials. These B players still needed to be developed so they could continue to grow, stay productive, and help the company achieve its vision and execute its 7 strategic initiatives. I believe this is a good business. It just requires a different talent and development strategy than that given to the A players or the high potentials. Don't ever underestimate the value and contribution of this critical mass in your company. As you will see in the following section, a loyal workforce has clear economic benefits. Approaching talent management by talent and pivotal roles. Businesses are like governments in that neither has unlimited funds to do everything they would like to do. When businesses are investing in sourcing, developing, and retaining talent, there are limited funds to do so. When funds are limited, as they always are, priorities must be set. So, rather than investing in identified talent, it makes sense to also identify the core roles to place talented people in as part of their development. Organizations do not have the money to invest in every person, in every department, in every role in the company. This necessitates priorities. Core roles refers to the strategic roles, the company roles that the market values. In simple and obvious terms, the core roles of a law firm are the lawyers. The core roles in an engineering consulting firm are the engineers. With these core roles, the impact is greater if or when there is a shortage of capability in this area. The consequences are greater if or when high performance is not consistent. There are also greater consequences if or when a wrong hiring choice is made. Finally, the impact to the organization is higher when a talented person employed in a core role leaves the company. Professors Mark A. Huslett and Richard W. Beatty from the School of Management and Labor Relations at Rutgers and Professors Brian E. Becker from the School of Management at SUNY Buffalo in New York wrote a compelling article in the December 2005 issue of Harvard Business Review entitled A Players or A Positions. The authors identify A positions as those having a direct strategic impact and bringing a higher degree of value to the marketplace. Their premise is that a single-minded focus on finding and developing A players misses the point. A better approach is first to identify strategically critical jobs, then to invest disproportionately to ensure that the right people doing the right things are in those positions. It's about assessing talent and roles and not treating all talent and all roles the same. The essence of strategy is choice, since funds are always limited. And this approach to talent management is strategic in that it requires choice. How are these views of managing and investing in talent consistent or inconsistent with your views or your organization's practice? Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah.